At about this time, it was our great good luck to come into contact with a scientist among the so-called dead who identified himself as Dr. George Jeffries Mueller. We remembered the 2,000-year-old injunction in the Bible to the mediums of that day to test spirit communicators. So we checked to see that Dr. Mueller really was who he claimed to be, and we hit the jackpot. He told us where we could find a copy of his death certificate issued in 1967. He told us his Social Security number. And he told us intimate details of his life and scholastic activities at the University of Wisconsin and Cornell University, his instructorship in physics at Cornell, and his top-level jobs in government and industry. His photograph and biographical data are given in our publication entitled Spiritcom. The fact that Dr. Mueller had written a textbook on electronics and had had a lifelong hobby of studying the theory of music enabled him to help us carry the research far beyond the level we had reached with Doc Nick and further refine our understanding of the audio frequencies we needed to arrive at our second major breakthrough. It occurred on September 22, 1980. Here it is.
William, that's much better right there, William. I'm gonna bring you down to the point again, William. Do you understand? Well, yeah, I mean...
Yes, sir, I understood, Doctor.
Very well. I'm bringing you down to the point again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. One moment, William.
Okay.
Very well, Marietta, little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb said, oh, little, play that line for me, William. William.
Yes, sir.
Play that line for me.
All right, Doctor, I'm sorry, I was lighting a cigarette.
Oh, the cigarettes again. Excuse me, William.
Yes, I did, Doctor.
Very well. I'm back about 3 feet now. I'm back about 3 feet. I'm going to give you a count of 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now change that frequency again, William.
Very well, Doctor.
1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think that is somewhat better, William. Play that back, if you will.
Well, Mary's little lamb certainly is adding to its claim to immortality. But since one of the first rules of science is that of replication, nothing could be more gratifying than to have Dr. Mueller's conversation confirm that we had at last established meaningful instrumental communication with a person who had shed his physical body. Now, thanks to Dr. Mueller's contributions to the new communication systems, we want to share a remarkable conversation with another communicator. What makes it remarkable is that he says he died 151 years ago. Fred Engstrom, which is how he identifies himself, says he lived in a rural area in Virginia and died in 1830. Our check of the scanty birth records of that place and time have not yet confirmed his existence then. But as you learned in The Magic of Living Forever, serial time, as we know it, does not exist in the worlds of spirit. When you listen to this next conversation, observe that this quality of Fred Engstrom's voice, while still robot-like, is vastly better than that of Doc Nick's voice at the time of our first breakthrough.
Excuse me, would you give me a count of 10? Let me make a little change here, okay?
Okay,
yeah, right for yourself.
Oh, boy.
What's the matter?
Oh, boy, you mind if I laugh?
No, go ahead and laugh. Okay. Let's see. I'll make a change here. Now say something. I'll give me a count of five.
One, two, three, four, five.
You sound more like a robot.
I do. Maybe I am a robot.
I doubt that very much. I'm going to change it back again. Now give me a count of five.
One, two, three, four, five.
Again. Wait a minute. Yeah, I heard you. Now, wait a minute. Now give me another count of five.
One, two, three, four, and a five. You mind if I map me and I'm having fun of my
life? Oh, boy. Okay. Wait a minute now.
What did you say now?
I was talking to my wife.
Oh, that's right. You said you were married, little boy.
Okay. Oh, boy. I'm glad you have a sense of humor. Well, if you can hear me, you'll be able to hear that because I'll make a tape of it, okay?
Okay, yeah. Oh, boy, that'll be mine. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, that's right. You mentioned, you said you were married. How long have you been married, Bill?
About 8 years.
I never did ask you how old you are. How old are you, Bill?
I'm 63.
Oh, boy. I thought you were maybe in your 20s. You sound like you're in your 20s.
Well, mentally, I feel like I'm in my 20s, but when I shave, my mirror says, "Who are you fooling, old man?"
Yeah, I know what you mean. You're trying to find out me in the wrong room. Well, I'll tell you what, Bill, I'm going to have to go here. Good for you, old boy. Yeah, I'm going to have to go right now. So I'll talk to you later, okay?
Yeah, it's okay, Fred. Good night.
The following examples of Dr. Mueller's voice are taken from many hours of two-way conversations with him, some of which lasted for half an hour or more. These tapes represent the present limited capability of the electromagnetic etheric device we call Spiricom, a word coined by taking portions of the two words spirit and communication. This particular device is called Spiricom Mark IV. The great value of the technical assistant given by Dr. Mueller is dramatically shown by this next excerpt, taken from a Spiricom conversation in April 1981. Near the start, he gives his reactions to one of the audio frequencies and then proceeds to pinpoint an electronic circuit problem on the video apparatus on which he and William were working.
Just a minute, Doctor. Yes, I know you're here, but I'm going to cut down the volume of these other frequencies.
Very well, William.
I want to cut them down to a level that won't,
I'm not sure, William, but, I don't feel comfortable with that one frequency.
What's that again, Doctor?
I said I'm not too comfortable with that one frequency.
Well, we'll see. Maybe we can change it later on, Doctor.
Very well. Oh, yes, William.
Yes?
I think the main problem was this Viracom we're working on.
Viracom? Oh, you mean Viracom?
Oh, yes, William. I'm sorry, Viracom. I think the problem is I know that you were quite thrilled with the fact that you had an image on your television receiver. However, William, I think the big problem is a an impingement
I don't understand.
The preamp, the preamp.
Oh, the preamp.
Yes. I think that I can redirect that by introducing a resistor being parallel with a point 0047 and microfarad surround the capacitor. I think we can overcome that impedance mismatch.
Oh boy, I'll have to get the schematic guy.
You rather bet you in?
I'd rather mark it on the schematic, Doctor.
Very well.
Schematic's over there in the file.
Very well, oh yes, would you like one other thing?
Yes. Yes, Doctor?
I hope you noticed how very specific Dr. Mueller was in pinpointing the problem on the experimental video device on which he and William were working. He said the problem lay near the third transistor in the preamp unit. The problem was an impedance mismatch and could be corrected by using a 150 ohm half watt resistor in parallel with a 0.0047 microfarad ceramic capacitor. What better proof could science want that Dr. Mueller's mind, memory banks, and personality are still alive and functioning in a useful and most dramatic way? And now we share an excerpt in which they further discuss our Viticom research project. Incidentally, the problems of developing a workable Viticom system seem even more monumental than those of perfecting Spiracom.
What's that again?
By the way, William, did you get that Mount acid in crystal?
No, I didn't, Doctor. I got that that five faceted from Edmonds.
Edmonds. Who was Edmonds?
Edmonds is a company, Edmonds Scientific.
Oh, I understand. What were the results?
Well, I inserted it in the lens of the camera, but all I got was a lot of crazy color lights, but I didn't get any imagery.
Other procedure, William. I'm sure, well, I'm not absolutely sure, but I have a feeling that this will help clarify the image so that we can discern the features of the subject. You know, we have the form, we have the face, we have the... We know it's a human form, however. We must be able to discern the facial features. You know, whether we can identify the subject, I don't know. Just a minute, William.
What's that, Doctor?
No, William, I'm somebody I'm talking to here. Nathaniel. There's a fellow here, William. He says his name is Nathaniel. He says he knows you and you know him.
Nathaniel? I don't know anybody by the name of Nathaniel. I don't recall knowing anybody.
You perhaps noted that Dr. Mueller turned aside from the microphone to talk with another spirit person standing in the lab. William was unable to see him visually or clairvoyantly, or to hear him clairaudiently. The spirit, who told Dr. Mueller his name was Nathaniel, seemingly could not talk through Spiracom. With Dr. Mueller as intermediary, William and Nathaniel discussed boyhood activities, including pranks, in which they had both participated more than half a century ago. The contacts with Dr. Mueller were sporadic. Days and even weeks would pass with no contact, even though William left the electronic equipment turned on. Then Dr. Mueller would pay an unexpected visit like this one.
William.
Doctor. I'm coming. Oh, boy. I'm sorry, Doctor. I'm sorry. Oh, boy. I just went downstairs for a cup of coffee. I'm sorry, Doctor.
Then, equally frustrating, there would be a totally unexplained termination of contact in the midst of a very useful conversation. Here is an example.
Well, I understand, but, well, a lot of things I don't understand. Do you have any suggestions, Doctor? Do you have any suggestions? Dr. Mueller? Dr. Mueller? Oh, boy. Dr. Mueller, are you there, sir? Oh, my God. Dr. Mueller. Oh, boy.
In the early months of our conversations with Dr. Mueller, electromagnetic factors, the phase of the moon, sunspots, or other unknown factors resulted in poor quality of Dr. Mueller's voice, as you will notice in this excerpt, in which Dr. Mueller responds to William's mention of possible surgery. These comments and his observations and his own death 14 years previously are worth careful listening, even though the poor quality may try your patience.
Yes?
I'm very happy, William, that surgery was not necessary. But there are times when surgery becomes necessary, but don't worry about it, William. Worry does not help the situation in your case. Should surgery become necessary in the future? Since it's not a malignancy, it's malaria, what do they call it? Benign. Since it's benign, there's no need to worry about it, William. Did you understand? Hopefully you won't have to have that surgery, William. But I should choose that you have to have that surgery. Please, William. Please, worry will not help in the least. Do you understand, William?
Yeah, I understand, but you understand, Doctor. I know I'm not getting any younger, but...
I know I understand, William. Well, in my case, I was fortunate. It was sudden, however. Really, if you know in advance, this is the important thing. That's the one benefit that you will find as a result of our contacts. You are aware, I was not aware of this side, the potential over here, but you are. So when I got over here, it was like waking up in the morning and not knowing where you were at, or having a bad dream.
There were many discussions on more joyful subjects than surgery and death experiences. Often, Dr. Mueller displayed his delightful humor. In this excerpt, he speaks of his fondness for carrots and cabbages.
Yeah, I just turned on the tape recorder, Doctor.
Very well, William.
You said to hurry back, and I did. That has been exactly 1 week ago. Yeah, ho, yourself. Cold weather has left us temporarily anyway. It's raining, it's nice and warm. Of course, you never know what to expect. I'm going to try to put in a little garden this year. What's that again?
I said you had sent me a couple of carrots.
A couple of what?
A couple of carrots.
Carrots.
Yes, with it. Also a nice head of lettuce.
Nice head of lettuce? I'm not going to plant acres, Doctor. What's that? I think you were talking at the same time I was.
Perhaps I said, probably had some cabbage. I like a fried cabbage. Oh, I love fried cabbage.
Fried cabbage. Well, I like sauerkraut.
Well, you know what sauerkraut will do?
Yes, I do. You know, Doctor, I never thought I'd see the day when I could, oh boy, talk to someone like you in the way we're doing. And let's say 10 years ago, someone told me this was possible. I would recommend that they be sent to the funny farm.
Well, perhaps you're right.
Yes, both William's fellow researchers and you listeners have difficulty believing these really are conversations with a scientist whose funeral took place 14 years ago. After all, it does take a bit of getting used to. The following exchange is one of several in which Dr. Mueller states that serial time, as we know it, does not exist in his world.
I said, I'm sorry, Doctor, but, oh boy, it's almost 4 o'clock in the morning, and the last time we talked was, what, about quarter after 2. I just forget what time it is.
Oh, there we go, that old time. You know better than that.
What's that, sir?
You know better than that. I'm not aware of time over here.
Well, I know that's what you said, sir.
I'm not joking, William. I'm not joking. Now listen, William. Please listen very carefully.
Yes?
Please adjust that frequency, William.
All right, sir. Oh, boy.
We were constantly amazed that Dr. Mueller could see everything in the lab. Often, we would lay out letters or magazine articles, which he would proceed to read and then discuss the contents. Here he asks about a new instrument that has just been placed in the lab.
Very well, William. What is that in you right there?
Which one's that, sir?
That little one there.
Oh, the blue one? Yes. The blue one, sir?
Yes, William.
That's a biofeedback, sir. Biofeedback unit.
Are you having nerve problems, William?
No, sir. You know. You know what that's for, sir.
No, I'm just joshing, William. I'm just joshing. Let's get on with it.
During our years of working with persons in the world of spirit, we have learned that most great inventions are conceived in the mental and causal levels of consciousness and then implanted in the mind of a person called an inventor. We refer to this process as intuition. Our Spiricom device has exciting potentials in this area. Sometime in the decades ahead, ideas will be transmitted directly by Spiricom from a scientist in the higher planes, just as is being done in this excerpt of an August 1981 tape.
Now, very well, William, you have that frequency set now, William.
I think I've got a doctor.
Very well. Try adjusting it just a little bit, William. Do you understand me, William? William?
Yes, sir.
Try adjusting that frequency just a little bit. I'll give you a count of 5, William. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, I think that's the best frequency, William. Now the next project, William.
Yes, sir. I'm listening.